we're going to begin the second perek, Yedaleh Amud Aleph. So basically this perek, I mean, we're still in the Masechta Tzemura, of course, and this perek is going to mention things involving Tzemura, but it's kind of, for the most part, a digression from the main dinim of Tzemura that we're dealing with in our Masechta to deal with various other concepts and issues as far as Korbanos. So the Mishnah starts by saying, Yesh Yachid She'en B'Korbanos HaTzibur. There's certain things that are true of Korbanos Yachid, which are not true of Korbanos Tzibur. In other words, there are certain dinim that apply to individuals' Korbanos that don't apply to the Korbanos of the Tzibur. V'yesh B'Korbanos HaTzibur She'en B'Korbanos HaYachid, and vice versa. You have certain dinim that apply only to Korbanos Tzibur that don't apply to Korbanos of Yachid. Namely, She'Korbanos HaYachid Oysin Tzmura, V'en Korbanos HaTzibur Oysin Tzmura. Number one is, as we learned in the previous parak, only korbanos of individuals are able to produce a tzmura. Korbanos of tzibur are not. As we said, if you were to take an animal of korban tzibur and say, I want to make some other animal, I want to take this other animal of cholam and make a tzmura for that, nothing would happen. We said there, okay, the Rambam learns that the person who did it would still get malchus, but the tzmura doesn't actually take effect. So there's something that you have in korbanos of yochid that you don't have in korbanos of tzibur. Another difference, korbanos hayachid noegas bein bischorim bein minakevis. Individual people's korbanos, you have both male and female animals and birds, as we'll see in the Gemara, can be brought as korbanos. But korbanos hatzibur ain't noegan ela bischorim, whereas korbanos of the tzibur are always only male animals. There's no such thing as a korban tzibur that's a female animal. Another difference, korbanos hayachid chayoven ba'achriyosan. A korban hayachid has to bring. He is chayav b'achriyosan, he's responsible for making it up if it got lost or otherwise unavailable. Uva'achrayos niskehem, and he's also responsible for making sure that their nesachim are brought. Now, what we mean is, in other words, that specifically we're talking about, as we'll see in the Gemara, we're talking about korbanos of yochid that are kavua lahen zman. Namely, we know that among korbanos of individuals, you have ones which have no particular fixed time. You make a neder or a nedava, for example, to bring an oil or a shlomim. You can bring it any time, and you have a deadline. You're supposed to bring it before Sholosh Regalim, otherwise you're oigran bal ta'acher, but there's no particular time when you're supposed to bring it. As opposed to, you have korbanos of a yochid, which have a fixed time, not necessarily a fixed date, but a fixed time in the sense, for example, let's say you have the carbon that a woman brings after she gives birth. That's supposed to be brought on the 41st day after giving birth to a boy or the 81st day after a girl. The same thing, for example, the carbon of a zav or a zava is supposed to be brought after their shiva nikiyim. The carbon of a mitzora is supposed to be brought once he's healed from his taras and has had his 7 days of his first stage of tara, etc. So those are all korbanos hayachid shekavua lahenzman. Those are all korbanos of individuals that have a fixed time. So you might think, now, as we're going to say now, with korbanos tzibur, when they have a fixed time, you don't bring it on that day, then that's it. There's no making up for them. You would think the same thing is true of korbanos of a yachid. If, let's say, for example, a woman gave birth, and she didn't bring her korban on the 41st day after a boy, maybe it's missed and she can't make it up. No, she's still chayev in v'achriyosan or v'achrayos niskeyan. She's still responsible to bring that korban at some later point. So it won't be on the 41st day. It'll be on the 42nd day or the 43rd or whatever, as long as it takes. But still, she has to bring that korban. And when there are nesachim with the korban, the nesachim has to be brought as well. As opposed to the korbanos hatzibur ein chayavin ba'achriyosan v'lo ba'achrayos niskehem. As opposed to korbanos tzibur, if they are korbanos that have a fixed time and they didn't bring them on the particular day, then they're not chayav to make up for them or for their nesachim. So let's say you have the korban tamid twice a day, you have the korbanos musaf on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, whatever. If they missed one of them, that's it. There's no making it up. That's what we mean. So that's the difference. Because that's another difference in korbanos of a yachid and a tzibur. But on the other hand, when it comes to the tzibur, even korbanos tzibur, if they brought the actual korban on the proper day, on the proper time, and they didn't bring the nesachim with it, then they do have to make up for the nesachim after the fact. So let's say, for example, so comes Shabbos, let's say. Let's say they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't bring the sheep for the Korban Musaf on Shabbos. So that's it. They don't bring them on Sunday instead. They don't bring extra ones the following Shabbos. However, if they brought the two sheep as a Musaf, but they didn't bring, for whatever reason, they didn't bring the Nesachim with them, then they have to bring those on Sunday or whenever they get a hold of them. So those are three differences between Korbanos Yochid and Korbanos Tzibur, three dinim that apply to a Korban Yochid that don't apply to a Korban Tzibur. Number one, Tmura. Number two, male versus female. And number three, about Chayav Achriyasan. On the other hand, Yesh b'Korbanos HaTzibur Mashein b'Korbanos Yochid. On the other hand, there are features of Korbanos Tzibur that do not apply to Korbanos of Yochid. Number one, shekorbanos hatzibur doichin, or not number one, this is the only one actually, shekorbanos hatzibur doichin as a Shabbos vs. a Tumah. Korbanos tzibur overrides Shabbos and Tumah. So if you have a korban of the tzibur which has to be brought on a certain date, then they bring it even if that date comes out on Shabbos. Also, the same is true of the korban Pesach. Okay, the korban Pesach is sort of like a hybrid of a korban Yochid and a korban Tzibur, because every person brings it individually, but the whole Tzibur brings it together. It's considered a korban Tzibur for this purpose. And as we know, the korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos, and also it's Doicha Tumah. Even if the Tzibur is Tomei, they still bring the korban Pesach or any other Tumas Nes. That is, they still bring the korban Pesach or any other korbanos that have a fixed time. The Korbanos Yochid ain't Doichas Loyas HaShabbos Loyas HaTumah. As opposed to Korbanos that an individual wants to bring, even if they have a fixed time, they don't override Shabbos or Tumah. So let's go back to that example. Let's say of a woman who gave birth, who has to bring a Korban on the 41st day after she gave birth to a boy. If that 41st day comes out on Shabbos, then she doesn't bring it that day. She brings it the next day. Or if she's Tomei at the time, she doesn't bring it. She waits till she's Tahar, and then she brings the Korban. The same way, if it's a Koyanim or Tomei, then she has to wait till the Koyanim or Tahar to be able to bring her Korban. However, Amar Reb Meir, argues that. He says, what do you mean? That it's a general rule that Korbanos Yochid, that Korbanos Yochid don't take place on Shabbos. What about the Chavite Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, which he brings every day, and Upar Sheyem HaKippurim, and also the ox that you bring that the Kohen Gadol brings as a korban on Yom Kippur, korbanos yachid hein, those are korbanos yachid. And the Dochenes HaShabbos V'Satumah. Nevertheless, the din with those is that you bring them on Shabbos, and you bring them on Shabbos, and you bring them even if the Koyanim or whoever are Tomei. So Rav Meir says, it's not a matter of Yochid versus Tzibur. Elosh is Manon Kavuah. So Rav Meir says, no, we have to reformulate the rule like this, that any Korban that has a fixed date that you have to bring it on, those you bring even the Shabbos or Batoma, even if it's a Korban Yochid. So the Minchas Chavitin has a fixed date in the sense that you have to bring it every day. The Par Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur also has a fixed date. You have to bring it Dafka on Yom Kippur. So even though those are private Korbanos, nevertheless, you still bring them on Shabbos and Batoma. As opposed to, for example, the Korban of a woman who gave birth, and the Korban of a Mitzvah or what have you, there's a certain number of days after which you're supposed to bring them, but it's not tied to a specific date on the calendar. Therefore, those don't override Shabbos. Therefore, those don't override Shabbos and Tumah.
Questionable to consider the korbanos of the Kohen Gadol as Yachid. The Kohen Gadol, we said, is the Kohen of Gadol of the whole Jewish people.
The fact of the matter is that the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol and the Par Kohen Gadol, they do come out of his own money. So therefore, in that sense, Rav Meir considers them a private korban. In fact, I mean, the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos that the Rav Meir is not really arguing with the Chachamim. He's just formulating the rule differently. A couple of the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rishonim, the Tosfos Arosh, explain, though, that actually the Tanakhama would answer, the Tanakhama doesn't say anything in response in our Mishnah, but the Tanakhama would answer it sort of like what you're saying, that even though true, they are supposed to be brought from the Kohen Gadol's funds, the fact of the matter is, we can consider them a Korban Tzibur. We can't call them a korban sibur because, for example, a minchas chavitin, the din is, what happens if the kohen gadol dies? They still keep on bringing the minchas chavitin from the funds of the sibur until a new kohen gadol is appointed. And as for the power kohen gadol, same thing. Even though the power kohen gadol is brought out of the kohen gadol's own funds, but the fact of the matter is, the other kohenim do get kapara from it as well. We learned in Yoma, we learned in Zvachim, that it's called kapara mikosher. It's like, so to speak, there's kapara floating in the air over there around with this power kohen gadol, and therefore the other kohenim are able to share in it. But the point is, the shonim say that the Tanakhama would answer that because of that, therefore that's reason enough to consider these a korban tzibu, even though they are in fact brought out of the kohen gadol's own personal funds. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara starts off. We said korban yachid oisat tmura cholo. We said that the rule in rule number one, something that applies to korbanos yachid but not to korbanos tzibur, is the din of tmura, which applies only to korbanos of yachid. So the Gemara is understanding that when the Mishnah is saying that korbanos yachid oisim tmura, the Gemara is understanding that the Mishnah is saying an absolute statement. All korbanos yachid are able to make a tmura. So the question is, what do you mean? Ukulalahu. Is that a general rule? Bahare oifos, what about you have the case of birds? The korban yachid, only a yachid brings korbanos of birds. We learned at the end of the previous perek that birds are not able to make a tmura. So it sounds like the Mishnah is saying all korbanos yachid are able to make a tmura, but there you have an exception to that. The answer is, the Gemara says, ki katani, the behema katani. Okay, but the Mishnah is only talking about korbanos of animals. Given that, as we learned in the previous parak, when it says the concept of tmura in the Torah, it mentions only animals, in homer yomer, behema bibehema. So therefore, we know that the whole concept of tmura only applies to animals. Within animal korbanos, it applies only to korbanos of yachid, not korbanos of tzibur. We're not getting into the fact that there are other types of korbanos yachid that are not subject to tmura. That's not what the Mishnah is getting into. Okay. The Gemara says, v'hari v'lad de korban yachidu. Okay, but what about you have the case of a baby of karchim, as we learned in the previous parak, where you have a female animal of karchim that became pregnant and gave birth, and we said that the v'lad, we said according to the Chachamim, is not able to make a tmura. De korban yachidu, the v'lad is a korban yachid, because you bring it as a korban, together with the mother, separately from the mother, whatever, v'ein osa tmura, and it also doesn't produce a tmura. So even within animals of korbanos yachid, it's not an absolute rule that all of them are able to produce a tmura. The answer is homani Rabbi Huda. Okay, the on Mishnah goes like Rabbi Huda. Doma v'ad oisat tmura. So you said in the Mishnah that we learned on Dashi Gimel and in the Sugya that we had previously before about it, that Rabbi Huda says that a v'ad can make a tmura. Okay, I mean, by the way, obviously the Gemara could have answered with all of these questions. The Gemara could have answered, but the Mishnah doesn't mean that all korbanos yachid of the type we're talking about are able to make a tmura. We just mean there are some of them that are able to, but there are some of them that are not. But the Gemara wanted to go through the questions and the answers that Ashash says this is an example of lahat no Torah or lahat jira, to make the Torah more great and glorious. We want to delve into the Torah, and we want to ask and answer as many questions as possible on it. So therefore, the Gemara is asking and answering these questions, and not just saying, okay, obviously the Mishnah doesn't mean all korbanos. Okay, fine. The Gemara asks about a tmura asma. Okay, what about the animal of tmura itself? If you had the original animal of the korban, and then you made a tmura from it to another animal, so the din is, in general, that second animal is also brought as a korban of the same type as the original one. We'll see the detailed dinim of these as we go through the Masechta. But let's say, for example, you had an animal of an oila and you made a tmura of it. That new animal is also brought as an oila. So the tmura itself, the korban yachidi, is a korban of an individual. The ein tmura is a tmura. But as we learned in the previous parak, a tmura is not able to make another tmura. So you still have, how can you say, a general rule that korbanos yachid are able to make a tmura? Okay, so far we said birds, fine. We're not talking about birds. We're talking only animals. A vlad, we said, is a coin of Yehuda. But everybody agrees that a tmura can't make a tmura. So what are you doing with that? The answer is, ki katani, be ikur zivcha katani. Okay, the answer is, you could say the Mishnah is specifically addressing the case where the animal itself is the ikar of the korban, the first one that you designated as a korban, not the second one that you designated as a korban by making it a tzmura. So therefore, so within that, when you first designate an animal for a korban, never mind tzmura, when you first designate an animal for a korban, that animal was able to produce a tzmura. We're not getting into the fact of what happens with the tzmura itself. Okay, now that you got to that answer, then we can answer the previous question with that same answer as well. We asked, what about the Vlad? And we said that can only be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we don't need that. We could say, after the Tamer Rabbanan, our Mishnah could even work according to the Chachamim. Because the Ikar Zivcha Katani, because you could say, again, the Mishnah is talking about the primary, the original animal that you designated as a korban. The Vlad is only being designated as a korban from the Koyach of its mother, therefore the Mishnah is not addressing that. Okay, so altogether, when the Mishnah is saying that Karbonas Hayachid Oisin Tzmura, what it means is when you have a Karbon of a Yachid, which has the following two criteria: number one, it's an animal, and number two, it is Iker Zivcha, it's the original animal that you designated as a Karbon, not the Tzmura or not the Vlad, then it's able to produce a Tzmura. And that's correct, because any korban like that, any animal like that, where you originally designated that particular animal itself as a korban, not that you designated it, not that it became a korban by means of tumura or vlad or whatever, and it's an animal, not a bird, is able to produce a tumura. So that's what the Mishnah means. Okay. Then we said, korbanos hayochid noyeges ben b'schorim ben b'nekeves. We said that korbanos of yochid are able to be only male animals, not female. Korbanos of yochid, we said, can be both male and female animals. And again, the Gemara wants to assume that what the Mishnah means is all korbanos yochid can be either males or females. All types of korbanos that yochid could bring. So again, the Gemara asks a kolah who. Is that an absolute rule? Bahare oila de korban yochid bezocher asya. What about you have an oila? An oila can be a korban of a yachid, and an oila is only a male animal. There's no such thing as a female animal for an oila. Okay, the Gemara answer is ha'ika oila soif. There is. You can bring a female bird as an oila. We know that when it comes to oila and when it comes to chatos, you can bring either animals or birds. And when it comes to With an ola, when it comes to an animal, you're restricted only to males. But when it comes to birds, you can use females also. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Tamus v'zachrus v'behema. This that the pasuk says that the korban has to be tomim without any mumim, and that it has to be a male, applies only to a behema. The ain tamus v'zachrus v'oifus. The concept of tam and the concept of zachar does not apply to birds. So there you go. You can have a female. So it is correct to say that an oila can be a female. It can't be a female animal, but it can be a female bird. Okay. Because Gemara says what? What's that?
Oila can be a female bird because what?
Because that's what it is. Because this that the Torah said this when the Torah introduces the oila. When the Torah introduces the dinim of the oila at the beginning of the Pasuk Vayikra, and it says, "In oila korbana in abaka zocher tamim yachlivenu," so the Gemara explains in various places, originally comes from Sifra on the Pasuk, that since it mentions only by behema, it says "In oila korbana," it says "mina behema mina baka mina tzayin," and then it says that it has to be tamim and it has to be zocher. So from that we learn that the concept of tamim and the concept of zocher doesn't apply if you bring a bird as an oila. So a bird doesn't have to be tamim. It can't be mechoser ever. It can't be lacking a limb. But that even b'nei noyach aren't allowed to bring an animal that's lacking a whole limb, even on their private mezeches, which they're allowed to do. But a bird, you can't bring a bird missing a whole limb, or that, for example, has its eye, that is blind in one eye or whatever, but it doesn't have to be tam. It could have some kind of physical defect and it's still kosher, and it could be female and it can still kosher. So there you go, then. You can say, you seem to very well say that of the various types of korban that a yachid can bring, and one of them is an oila, and yes, an oila can be both male and female, because it can be a male animal or bird, or it can be a female bird. Okay. The Gemara says, what about the harei chatos? the korban yachidi. What about a chatas? It's brought by individuals. When the keva asya zocha layasya. Then it's the other way around. When you bring an animal for a chatas, you have to bring dafka a. You have to bring dafka a female animal, not the. You have to bring dafka a female animal, not a male animal. Now you could answer. Now, of course, the Gemara could have answered. The Gemara could have easily answered. Okay, well, the same thing. You can bring a chatas oif, and it can bring a male animal. So the Shita Mukhabetza says that yeah, the Gemara could have answered that. But another possibility is that another possibility he says is that in general when you chayav a chatas, you can only bring an animal. There's certain kinds of cases, sure. You have certain kinds of cases, the carbon or the yard, where you're supposed to bring an animal, chatas, and if you can't bring if you can't afford an animal, then you bring birds instead. But in general, let's say a person broke Shabbos or ate chalev or did any of the other things that we're going to learn in Masechta Krisis in a couple of weeks, as the same, we're going to talk about the 36 cases, 36 things for which a person can be chayav kares, and for most of which, if he didn't mature, he brings a chatas. Most of those, it has to be an animal, and there's no choice of bringing a bird. So therefore, the Gemara said, therefore, that's the Shittim Kubetz's second answer, is the Gemara couldn't have answered that there is such a thing as a chatas of a bird, because in the vast majority of cases, there isn't. In the vast majority of cases, when you're obligated to bring a chatas, it has to be an animal, nothing less. And then it dafka has to be a female animal. So again, the question is, why is the Mishnah implying that all korbanos yochid could be either males or females, where when it comes to a chatas, most chatois have to be female animals. The answer is, okay, but you know what? You have the case of a chatas that the king brings, where there he does bring a male animal. If you have the situation, the situations where a yochid would bring a female sheep or a female goat, again, for example, breaking Shabbos, breaking chalev, or the various arayas and so forth, we did in Beshagig, a regular person brings a female sheep or a female goat, the king, the nasi, brings specifically a male goat. So there you go. You can well say that the chatas of a yachid can be either a male or a female. A male if it's the king, and a female if it's anyone else. Okay. The Gemara says, "Va'yikah osham yachid." What about the case where a person has to bring a carbon? Where a person has to bring a carbon osham? The zocher osi and the kevaloy osi. That can only be an osham. All the six types of osham are only male animals, not females. So how are you saying that all categories of korban that an individual can bring can be males or females? Fine. Ola we took care of. Chatas we took care of. Shlomim, the Gemara didn't even bother to ask, because we know that shlomim can be males or females. But what about an osham? The answer is ki ka'amri rabbanon, yes, but the chachamim, when they give their rule in our Mishnah, they're only talking about korban deshavi bein b'yachid bein b'tzibur. They're talking about the categories of korban which you have by a yachid and you have by a tzibur. A yachid can bring an oila, so does the tzibur. A yachid can bring a chatas, so does the tzibur. A yachid can bring a shlomim. By the tzibur, you have the shalmei tzibur. You have the special shlomim that you have on Shavuos, as we're going to talk about in a second. As opposed to an osham, there's no such thing as a korban osham of the tzibur. So there's osham b'yachid isay b'tzibur lesay. An osham, there's no such thing as a korban osham of the tzibur. So the Mishnah is not trying to contrast all korbanos yachid with all korbanos tzibur. It's contrasting within the categories of korban, which both a yachid and the tzibur can bring, within those, in each category, you can have cases where the yachid brings a male and cases where the yachid brings a female. And in all those cases, the tzibur is going to bring the corresponding type of korban, only a male animal. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'ibay seima, or another way you could answer all of these questions, mikatoni kol korbanos. After all, let's go back. We're assuming all this time that the Mishnah is giving us an absolute rule that all korbanos yachid have these features and all korbanos tzibur have these features. But the Mishnah never said that. The Mishnah never used the word kol. The yesh korbanos katani, the Mishnah means there are among the korbanos. Umay niu shlomin. So you could say, for example, the Mishnah is not even talking about all the different categories of Korbanos Yachid. Maybe it means, you could say, general Korban Yachid of an Ola is going to be a male. Let's ignore the Ola for the time being. Or let's focus only on animals, like we said before. And then a Yachid brings only males, fine. But what the Mishnah is saying is there's a certain category of Korban where a yachid can bring either a male or a female, whereas a tzibur, when it brings that same category of carbon, is only going to be bringing a male, or my nihu shlomim. Namely, that would be a carbon shlomim. The iboy in the cave of mice, the iboy zocha mice, where when an individual brings a carbon shlomim, they can bring either a male or a female animal. There's no particular preference one way or the other. As opposed to when Tzibur brings their shlomim on Shavuos, when they bring the Zivchei Shamay Tzibur that go together with the Seir Lechem, then those are specifically male animals. So that's another answer is that the Mishnah is not telling us that all categories of Korban, you have Yachid kind of male and female, and the Tzibur has only male. Certain category of Korban, which is shared among both Yachid and Tzibur, namely shlomim, where the yachid, any individual yachid can bring a male or a female, not like a chatas, where we said that the commoners are always bringing a female and the king is always bringing a male, but rather we're talking about shlomim, where the commoners can equally well bring males or females, but the tzibur brings only males. Mishnah had said, "Korbanos Yachid Chayavin Ba'achriyosan." We said another difference between another din that applies to Korban Yachid that doesn't apply to Korban Sibur is we said if a Yachid didn't bring their Korban on the day that they were supposed to, they're still responsible for bringing it after the fact and for bringing their Nesachim after the fact. We said if they missed the date when they were supposed to bring the Korban, then that's it. The opportunity is missed. They don't have to bring the Korban. But we said if they did bring the korban in its time, then they do have to make sure to bring them in a sochim some other time. So menahani mili, where do we know these dinim from? So let this turn on bottom. We learn in a brisa. The pasuk says regarding the korbanos after the pasuk mentions in Parshas Emor, it goes and lists all the yom tovim during the year, and then it summarizes and it says that on all these days you're supposed to be bringing korbanos to Hashem. Dvar yoim b'yoimoi, the matter of each day on its day. So the word yoim means malamet shekola yoim koshal mosafim. That comes to teach us that you can bring the korban mosaf any time throughout the day. So there's no particular time during the day that you have to bring the mosaf. You could bring it any time during the day. Actually, Rishonim talk about the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, talk about that in principle, the Korban Musaf, there is a certain limitation on it because you're supposed to only bring the Korban Musaf between the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Talmud Shal Ben Arbayim. So you can't say, for example, that you can bring the Korban Musaf the first thing in the morning because you're supposed to first bring the Korban Talmud first thing in the morning and only afterwards the Musaf. Okay, the Rashba and the Ritva answer that that's not really considered a limitation on time because in principle you could bring the Musaf earlier. Practically speaking, you have that limitation that you have to bring the Talmud first, but that's not something that applies directly to the Musaf. That's like kind of a side issue that prevents you from bringing the Musaf earlier. Or that, the Ran gives a different answer that it would Tosfos talks about in a number of places in Shas, including in Pesachim and in some other places that maybe the Dievid, if they brought the Musaf before the Talmud Shal Shachar or after the Talmud Shal Ben Arbayim, maybe it would still be valid. So in that case, then literally you can bring any time during the day. By the way, I mean, this that we're saying over here, that you can bring the Musaf any day, Rabbi Yehuda actually disagrees with that in Brachos and says that the Musafim are only supposed to be brought until the end of the seventh hour of the day. So as a matter of practical halacha, this results in that in principle, we can daven Musaf any time throughout the day, but preferably we're supposed to daven it before 7 hours into the day, which is relevant. It's particularly relevant on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where you go a long time with Chazonus and everything, and therefore they tend to daven Musaf late. Properly speaking, really Musaf is supposed to be davened by no later than 1 hour after Chatzos, although a lot of times they kind of honor that more in the breach than in the observance. But I mean that's the same way as Shachris is preferably supposed to be davened by the end of 4 hours in the day, and we don't always manage to do that either. Okay. Anyway, so the word Dvar Yoyim teaches us that the Musaf can be brought any time during the day, and the word B'yoymoy, on its day, means Malamajim over Yoyim V'loy Aviyah, and that teaches us that if the day passed and you didn't bring the korban, Eina Chayav Bachrus, and then you're not responsible to make it up. That's B'yoymoy. You only bring the korban, you only bring the particular korban on the day that the Torah specified that you're supposed to bring it. So if you didn't bring it then it's a missed opportunity. Continues the Braisa, Yochol Lo Yehechayev Bachrayus Niskehem. So you would think in that case, maybe if you brought the korban without its nesachim, maybe you're not responsible to make up for the nesachim on a different day. The Afal Pisha Korav HaZevach, even if the korban was already brought on the proper day, maybe you're not obligated to make up the nesachim. No, Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Minchasim, Minaskeim, therefore the Pasuk also mentions that you have to bring the Korbanos, and it mentions you have to bring Minchasim, Minaskeim, you have to bring their Korban Mincha and their libations, and those words teach us, Balayla, you bring them even at night, even if you bring them the following night, and Minchasim, Minaskeim, Lamacher, and even the next day, or subsequent day. So that's where we see these two dinim. Number one, that if you miss the actual korban, then you don't bring it on another day. And number two, that if you brought the actual korban but you didn't bring the nesachim, then you bring them on a different day.
When is the kapara?
What?
When is the kapara if you didn't bring the nesachim?
The kapara is when you sprinkle the blood of the korban on the mizbeach. So the nesachim are necessary for the korban, but they're not so as we learned in Menachos. If you didn't bring the nesachim that day, then you can bring them on a subsequent day. Rashi over here talks about that what it means. Actually, a little later in the Sugya, Rashi talks about the idea that you can be makdish the nesachim by night. You can be makdish them in a kli shoreis, and then be makdish them the next day. Shita Mukubetas asks on that would they become possible by lina? A couple of answers. One of them is that's what the pasuk means, is that they do get kedusha of kli shoreis, even though you weren't makdish them at the time of the korban, and therefore they will become possible. Or maybe even another answer is that actually, that the Torah is actually telling us that in this case they won't become possible by lina, even though you put them in a pre-charis. Okay. Anyway, so we're learning from Minchas and Minaskeim this concept that if you didn't bring the Nesachim in their proper time, you have to bring them the following night or some other day. Okay. Resh Lakish, Omer. Resh Lakish says that last deed, and I have a different pasuk that teaches us that. Mehacha, he says, I can learn it from here. In the parashas Hamoedos, right after the pasuk Dvar Yom B'Yomoy, the pasuk continues Milvad Shabbos Hashem, besides for the Shabbosim of Hashem. So the simple meaning of the pasuk means something like, in other words, the Torah is telling you, for example, you have to bring a korban musaf on Pesach and on Shavuos and on Sukkot, aside from the regular korbanos musaf that you're supposed to bring on Shabbos and on other days. But Resh Lakish is taking the two psukim, the juxtaposition of the two psukim, and putting them together, the Torah is telling us Zevach unasachim Dvar Yom B'Yomoy Milvav Shabbos Hashem. If we put those two together, we say that the Zevach and the Nesachim are every day in its day, aside from the Shabbosos of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, Resh Lakish is understanding that what the pasuk is implying is, let's say for example, you had the Korban Musaf was supposed to be brought on Shabbos, and there were supposed to be Nesachim with it, rather. So you brought the Korban Musaf, but for whatever reason you didn't bring the Nesachim. Milvav Shabbos Hashem teaches us you left out what you were supposed to be bringing on Shabbos Hashem in terms of the Zevach on the Sachim. Bring them today on Yom Tov. Let's say the Yom Tov is on Sunday. So therefore, he says we see from that also that the Nesachim, Milvav Shabbos Hashem, the ones that were supposed to have been brought on Shabbos, and instead you didn't. Instead, you're bringing them on the next day, which happens to be Yom Tov. Okay, so why do we need two different Sukkim to teach us the same thing? So the Gemara says, "Tzricha." We actually need both of them. The E Kosa Rachmanu Milvad Shabbos Hashem. If we only had the Shlokish's Pasuk Milvad Shabbos Hashem, have on it. You would think by Yom Ein of Alayla Loi, maybe you can only bring these Nesachim during the day, but not during the night. in general, you can't bring korbanos at night, so therefore you would think that's the case over here also, and especially since it says it next to the word dvar yom b'yomo, so you would think it only applies in the yom. Amakro menchasim and eskeim, therefore you have the other pasuk of menchasim and eskeim, which means where there the Torah doesn't mention day or night, so therefore it means whether it's by day or whether it's by night. You can still bring those in the sachem at night. The kasim rachmanim menchasim and eskeim, like kasim, the lavat shabbos Hashem. But if we only have the second pasuk, if we only have the first pasuk rather, menchasim and eskeim from the brisa, and we didn't have the pasuk the lavat shabbos Hashem, have amina, you would think balayla a. Maybe the other way around. Maybe the Nisachim have to be brought at night, but they can't be brought by day. So therefore, so the two psukim. So now the question is: you would argue Mishna. Why would it be different? Why would you think that you could only bring them the following night, but not the next day? The reason is. Because after all, we have the general rule by Kodshim that unlike for all other areas in Torah where we say that the night comes before the day, by Erev, by Hivoyker, but when it comes to Kodshim, we know, as we've learned many times, it's not like that. The night follows the day. For example, can be eaten for a day and a night means you can eat it on the day that it's brought, and the following night until Chatzos or until Olos Hashachar. So the following night belongs to the same day. Therefore, you would think you could bring the Nesachim then, but you wouldn't know that you could bring them the next day because you would argue the next day has nothing to do with the previous day. Therefore, we need both of them.
You wouldn't know what? Repeat that? I didn't hear that.
If we only had the pasuk of Menchasim and Eskeim, then we would think, okay, so it's like this. The same way, as the Gemara is going to talk about now in a second, the same way as, for example, you brought a carbon during the day, the din is you're able to burn the remaining fats and a volume and whatever of the carbon the following night, but not the next day because they become possible with Lina. You would think the same thing is true of the Nesachim. So fine, you didn't bring the Nesachim of the Korbanos Shabbos, let's say. You can bring them Motzei Shabbos, fine. But where would we know that you could also bring them on Sunday or Monday or whatever? For that, we need the Pasuk Milavad Shabbos Eitz Hashem. Because otherwise, from Menachasim and Eskeim, we would say you could bring them the following night, because when it comes to Kodshim, the night is a continuation of the day, but you wouldn't know that you could bring them the next day, which has nothing to do. So the Gemara says, "Nesachim mikayv b'alayla." You're telling me that Nesachim you're able to be makriv by night. V'atnan or v'atanya, really, it's a brayta. We have like this. So the pasuk tells us that you're allowed to burn things on the mizbeach all night. So that we're starting in the middle of the brayta. It says, "Ein li ela dvarim shdarkam likra b'alayla." You would think maybe that this din that you can burn them by night only applies to things that normally are offered by night. For example, the remaining limbs and fats of the korbanos, which you can be makriv, you can be makriv then after the sun has set. And then they sit on the mizbeach in the fire and they get burnt. They continue burning all night. So you would think that maybe this din only applies to that, but Dvarim Shadakra and Likra Vayon, but you could argue that parts of the Korbanos that normally are offered only by day, because they're not Koimetz, Vahalavoyna, or Minchas Nesachim, for example, the Koimetz of a Mincha, and the Lavoyna, or the Lavoyna that goes also on the Mincha, and the Minchas Nesachim, which is burned completely on the Mizbeach, Shemala Niboya Shemesh, how do we know that those things also you're allowed to put them on the mizbeach after the sun has set? And the Gemara interjects in the Braisa, what do you mean? What do you mean you can put them on the mizbeach after the sun has set? You just said that these are things that are meant to be offered by day. Okay, Ella, so obviously what the Braisa means is im boy hashemesh, you're allowed to put them on the mizbeach right before sunset. How do we know that that's the case? Shemes Aklan Vahochim Kalalila, and then that way you're able to sit there on the mizbeach and continue burning all night. And how do we know that you're allowed to do that with these things as well? Not just say Avodim Ukdorim, but also these other things. Therefore, the pasuk says, this is the Torah of the Ola, which is a ribui, that anything that goes on the Mizbeach, you can put it there, as long as you put it there during the day, then you can continue burning it by night. So, katani miya nesachim bayom. The bottom line is, we said in the Braisa, we mentioned nesachim and mentioned them as something that are meant to be offered by day. So what do you mean that you're able to put them on the Mizbeach by night? The answer is, Omer Rami Bachoma, Vaikasha kam likdash kam likraz. The two Braises are talking about different things. There's one to be makdish them by putting them in a klisharis. That, we're learning that you can do by night also. And the second Braise, which says that you can only offer them on the Mizbeach by day, is exactly talking about offering likraz, to actually offer them on the Mizbeach. That has to have to be done by day. So here is again where Rashi understands that it means that you can put them in a klisharis by night, and then you can be makru them the next day. And the Shulchan Aruch Breakfast wonders about that, because what does that mean? They're going to be possible with lina. So there's a couple of answers. It means that it means like this. It means that you can only be makdish it in the keli by day, and then you can be makru it the following night. The opposite of what Rashi says.
Okay.
So according to Rashi, you can be makdish it by putting it in a klisharis by night, and then you can be makdish it the next day. So the question is about lina. So one possibility, the Rebel Brisker gives an answer that you have an opinion of Rabba, which we learned about in Zvachim a while back. That lina ain't a pacellus, but it's from Mizbeach, that when you have something on the top of the Mizbeach, it won't become possible by being left overnight. So fine, what you do is you put it in a klisharis by night, leave it on top of the Mizbeach until the morning, and then burn it on the Mizbeach on the morning. But the Shittim HaKubatis himself gives another answer that it's the other way around. You can be makdish them by day and be makdish them on the Mizbeach the following night. Anyway, the point is that on the one hand, we can consider Nesachim something that are only by day, because there's something with them that you can only do by day. On the other hand, there's something with them that you can do by night as well. Okay, the problem with that is Amalei Rava. Rava says to Rami Bachama, that won't work. E Nikdash Kadshi Karuvi Mikrivi. If you're telling me that the Nesachim are able to become Kaddish by night by putting them in a Klisharis, then it has to be that they can actually be offered on the Mizbeach by night. Vaha Tanya, because in fact we learn in a Braisa, Zeh HaKlal, the general rule is like this, Kol HaKorev Bayoyim, Ein Kodesh Ema Bayoyim, anything that is offered on a Mizbeach, Davka by day, which is most Korbanos, which have to be offered by day, Ein Kodesh Ema Bayoyim, they can only become Kodesh in a Klisharis only by day, Vachol HaKorev Bayoyim, anything which is offered by night, Kodesh Balayla, can become Kodesh by being put in a Klisharis by night. Now, what are we talking about over here? What kind of things are offered by night? So, Tosfos over here brings from a Rashi in Menachos that it refers to the oil in the menorah. But because the menorah is lit in the evening and it burns all night. But Tosfos doesn't like that explanation, because you can't say that you didn't put the oil into a klisharis before you actually put it in the menorah. The menorah itself is a klisharis, but the menorah is, in that sense, like the mizbeach for a korban. You don't have a previous klisharis that you put the oil into to make it kaddish. So therefore, Tosfos explains, and Rashi himself explains in Menachos, that we're talking about the minchas nesachim themselves, which we're saying can be offered by night. So therefore, so you can put them in a klisharis and make them kaddish by night. And ben bayoyim ben balayla, if you have something that can become kaddish by day or by night, that can be offered by day or by night, kaddish ben bayoyim ben balayla, then it can be makaddish by putting in a klisharis by day or by night. So therefore, so says Rava, what are you, Rami Bachama, telling us that you can put the nesachim in a klisharis by night, and then be makruv in the next day, or the Shittim HaKubetus, the other way around, put them in by day, be makruv in the following night. The Braisa is clearly saying that thing, that the time of day the part of the day when you can be makdish them is the same as when you can is when you can be makdish them. Ela, Amar Rav Yosef, smi minchas nesachim moham asnisa. So Rav Yosef says, okay, there's no choice. We have to edit the brisa. We have to remove the word minchas nesachim from the brisa. So when the brisa mentioned things that are normally offered by day, then we mentioned we had three things in the brisa: koimet, levoina, and minchas nesachim. So Rav Yosef says, okay, there's no choice. We have to delete the word minchas nesachim from that brisa and say that only the koimets and the levoina are the things that the brisa was listing that are offered dafka by day. And therefore, that the point is, they're offered dafka by day, but they can be put on the mizbeach before shkia and continue to burn on the mizbeach all night. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Ki solik Rav Gimi, that's not the end of the discussion, though, because when Rav Gimi went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Yirmiya was sitting and saying over Mishmedi Rabbi Shulman Levi. He was saying like this: Minayim l'nesachim haboyim im hazevach. How do we know about these nesachim that we're talking about that come together with a korban, the minchas nesachim? She'ain kredim ela b'yoyim. How do we know they can only be offered by day? Kamad loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ul b'nisteichem ul shalmeichem." The pasuk mentions, at the end of Parashat Pinchas, it says that it mentions your nesachim and your korbanos shlamim, and therefore we have a hekesh between nesachim and shlamim. Ma shlamim bayoyim, just like shlamim can only be offered by day, as is true in general of korbanos, that they can only be offered by day. Af nesachim bayoyim, the same thing. Nesachim can only be brought by day. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is learning, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi is learning, not like we said before, that Nesachim can be brought by night as well, but no, they can only be brought by day. Well, Rabbi Gimi says, Omar, he says, E ashkechei, if I can find somebody who can write a letter for me, another explanation is that if I find somebody who is going to be traveling to Bavel and can take a letter for me, shalchi le'ed Rabbi Yosef, then I would send the letter to Rabbi Yosef and tell him the loy kismi minchas nesachim mimasnisa. You don't have to delete the word minchas nesachim from the brisa, because you were asking before. Wait a minute, minchas nesachim we said can be brought by night. The answer is there's a difference. Loy kasha, there's no contradiction. Because you have two different things. You have nesachim that are being brought together with the korban, namely that they were already available when the korban was shechted, and they gained kedusha when the korban was shechted and had the din now of minchas nesachim. Those have to be brought dafka by day. As opposed to when you have nesachim that are being brought by themselves. For example, the case that we were mentioning before, where you brought the korban today, but you didn't have the nesachim available, and now you're going to bring them another day. Those don't have to dafka be brought by day. So that's what it is. Rabbi Yosef had thought we had to delete the nesachim from the Braisa, because the Braisa seemed to be saying you can only bring them by day, and we were saying before that you can bring them by night as well. Now, Rav Gimi says that actually we can reconcile them. We can say that there are certain kinds of Nesachim that can only be brought by day. If the Nesachim were available when you shechted the Korban, then they have to be brought that same day. But if they weren't available when you shechted the Korban, then and you bring them another day, then you're able to be makir with them by night.
No contradiction.
So no contradiction, right? Okay. Fine. Okay, so now we're going to ask a side thing. Rav Gimi just said that if I could find somebody to take a letter to Rav Yosef, then I would write to him this concept in Torah and tell him that you don't need to delete the Braisa, and that you don't need to delete from the Braisa, and explain what the two dinim are. The question is, what happened? What do you mean? The Havala Izrata, if Rav Gimi had available a letter, or he had somebody available to take the letter, mi efshel mishlacha, would he be able to send the letter to Rav Yosef? Well, Amar Rav Abba Grezer, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechon, kosvei halachos kesodas haTorah. A person who writes down halachos, a Torah Shabbat there, is like somebody who's burning the Torah. Because you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat there. And in particular, the reason is because like this. Why is it like burning them? Rashi says two reasons. Number one, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom, you have various dinim, what you're allowed and not allowed to save from the fire, if it involves, for example, if you're talking about carrying things out into Rosh Hashanah, that you're not allowed to do regardless. And if you're talking about carrying them into Rosh Hashanah, then there's not much of an issue with it. But if let's say you have, the only place that you can carry things out from the house to save them on Shabbos is into a Carmelist or to a chutzah that doesn't have an Eruv or whatever, then you have various rules what you're allowed to save and what you're not allowed to save. And one of them is that if you have books of Torah Shabbat Peh, you're not allowed to save them. So that's one explanation. Writing down Torah Shabbat Peh amounts to burning them, because especially in the conditions in the were very prevalent. So it's highly likely that at some point the fire is going to break out and you're not going to be able to save them on Shabbos, and therefore it amounts to that by writing them, you cause them to be burned. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that you're not allowed to keep around books of Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore it's like burning them because you're going to have to put them in Sheamus. So you're not allowed to write them. And if a person learns from books, from written things of Torah Shabbat Peh, he doesn't get schar for his learning. How is it nowadays? We'll see. We'll talk about it in a minute. But right now, we're talking in Rav Dini's times. Rav Dini is an Amora. Rav Yosef is also an Amora. In their times, they were not allowed to be writing down Torah Shabbat Peh yet. So we're saying over here that you're not allowed to. So how is Rav Dini saying that I would write a letter to Rav Yosef and tell him this? And the Gemara continues, where do we get these dinim from? Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani Meturgamani de Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani, who was the Meturgaman of Rish Lakish, so we know what the Meturgaman is, that when Rish Lakish was giving a public shiur, he would say whatever he was going to say quietly and briefly, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani would explain it and then repeat it over out loud and explain it to the Tzibur and everything. So he himself was independently a Talmid Chacham. So he explains, where do we get this from? So like this. You have a pasuk at the end of Parashas Kisisa that says like this. Hashem says to Moshe, "Ksav l'cha et advar ma'ela, write down these words for yourself. Ki al pi advar ma'ela, because according to on the mouth of these words, karati itcha bris v'asitual, I've made a covenant with you and the Jewish people." So, the one part of the pasuk says, write down these words, implying that Torah has to be written down. It's actually a continuation of the same pasuk, says, because on the mouth of these words, so in other words, it sounds like it has to be about there. So how do you reconcile? Therefore, what the Torah is telling you, the parts of the Torah Shabbat Peh, that are supposed to be Baal Peh, you're not allowed to write them down. V'shibeksav, Iyata Rashori Lo'omen Al Peh. And the parts of the Torah that are written out, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. Why it is that the Torah Shabbat Peh is not to be written down, there's a lot of different reasons that Rishonim and Achronim give. The Ritva gives a reason because when you give Torah Shabbat Peh, there's a lot of details in it. If you say it over verbally, you're going to give it over with all the details. When you write it down, it's not always going to be so precise. There's other explanations, including the Chassam Sofer brings from a Tosfos, that the reason is because like this, we know eventually, historically, that the Goyim took over Torah Shabbat Peh and claimed it as their own. And if Torah Shabbat Peh had been written down, they would have done the same thing. Whatever it is, the fact of the matter is that you're not allowed to interchange Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat Peh, which, by the way, you have a good deal of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim. What about, for example, when we say Shema, for example, or what about when we say Shema? What about when we say Oz Yashvi? What about when we say different Kapitlach Tzilim and Davening or whatever? We often say them by heart. So there's a number of different answers that Tosfos and other Rishonim and Achronim give. Number one, it only applies to things that you're saying in order to. First, they start by answering that maybe it only applies to Chumash. That what about Oz Yashir and Shema, which are in Chumash? So they say it only applies when you're reading something to be motzi to be motzi other people their chayv, but not when you're reading it for yourself. And there's a variety of different answers that Rishonim give, including that psukim that the Mordechai, for example, brings, that psukim that everybody is familiar with, you're allowed to say by heart. So Shema, everybody is familiar with, therefore you're allowed to say it by heart. There are different answers also that the main thing of not saying them Baal Peh is, let's say you have a Sefer Torah there and you're going to be saying Psukim Baal Peh, then you're not allowed to do that. But if you don't have a Sefer Torah on hand, you can't, I think the Tosfos Yeshanim says this, you can't expect, for example, that every time a person is going to say Shema, they're going to have to take out a Sefer Torah. It's not reasonable to do that, and therefore it's not also. Okay. Anyway, the point is that Torah Shabbat Peh is not supposed to be written down. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, and we learn in a Braisa of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, that actually we don't even need the words Ki Al Pi Advar Ma'ela. Just the words Ksav L'Charet Advar Ma'ela itself implies this din, because it means Eila at the Kuntiv. These words that Hashem says, that I just told you, Moshe, you should write down, Abel Ein at the Kuntiv Halachas, but you cannot write down the Halachas of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the question is, how is Rav Gimi saying and tell him what the correct Girsa in the Braisa is? How can you do that? How can you do that? How could he be writing a letter if we just said you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh? The answer is, Amri, the Bnei HaYeshiva answered, Dilma Milsa Chadata Shaini. Maybe it's different when you have a new concept, a chiddush, like this, that the Dimi found an answer of how to reconcile the Braises, and they don't know that particular fact, they don't know that particular answer in Bavel, he would be allowed to write it and send it to them. In other words, to write down Torah Shabbat Peh, to write it down freely, that you can't do, you have to learn it Baal Peh. But when you have a particular new point, which wasn't known before, and you want to write it down so that they can learn it and remember it, then that you would be allowed to do. The Shitimuk Betis brings another Girsa over here also, that the Chachamim mainly learn Baal Peh, but sometimes they can forget. So therefore they can write down notes for themselves to be able to refer to. The Rambam, in fact, writes, today, those who are learning Shloshah Prakim of Rambam finish it, and tomorrow we start it again. The Rambam writes in his Akdama to the Yad HaChazaka that what it is that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, what it is if a person could write down for himself private notes, a person learned, for example, some chiddush or whatever, he could write a private note for it to keep track of what he would learn. But then when he taught it to everybody else, he would teach it Baal Peh. So in this case, we're talking about a chiddush, and we're not talking about something that Rabbi Yosef would continue to learn from on a regular basis. He would see it one time, and then from then on, he would teach it Baal Peh. So such a thing would be allowed. Daha, as we have an example, Rabbi Yechanan and Rishlokish ma'ayni b'sifra da'gadta b'shabsa. Rabbi Yechanan and Rishlokish would look at books of Agadta on Shabbos. The books of Agadta obviously is part of Torah Shabbat Peh, and yet Rabbi Yechanan and Rishlokish would look at such books on Shabbos. The Darshi Hachi, and then as the Darshi Hachi, they darshin, where is there a heter to do that? What are we doing with books of Agadta? If it's Torah Shabbat Peh, you're not allowed to write Torah Shabbat Peh. They said, Amri, they said like this. Not Amri. They said, the Pasuk says, Eis lasis l'Hashem hesteru teresecha. It's a time to act for Hashem. They've canceled your Torah. Meaning, Amri, they said, mutav ki oker Torah, better that let this particular halacha of the Torah be uprooted, v'al tishtakach Torah miYisrael. But the Torah should not be forgotten from the Jewish people. In other words, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish are saying, we need to have the Svarim of Agadta, because otherwise these concepts are going to be completely forgotten. So therefore, it's a matter of Eis Lasis L'Hashem that the Chachamim are able to override that usual rule of not writing down Torah Shabbat Peh in order to make it possible for us to remember these things and not forget them altogether. So that, and that's, by the way, the same concept as we know that Rebbe composed the Mishnayos, and according to many Rishonim, including the Rambam, Rebbe actually wrote them down. Same idea, the Rambam writes in the same introduction to Yad HaChazaka, that what it is there came a point when Rebbe realized that there's a lot of forgetfulness, and the Chachamim are having a very hard time with all the persecutions and everything. And if they don't start writing down the Mishnah, then it's going to be completely forgotten. So therefore, he wrote it down also as a matter of a slash in. And eventually, the same thing. The Gemara was written down, and other parts of Torah Shabbat Peh were written down, all based on this principle of a slash in. That eventually, there came a point when the Chachamim realized we can't continue to only be able to learn it Baal Peh, because then it's going to be forgotten altogether, and therefore there was a heter to write it down. There is, by the way, a very interesting... What?
Hashem realized and anticipated that would happen?
Obviously, Hashem knows the future. But in other words, the original way it was supposed to be is that Teresh B'Chsav remains B'Chsav, Teresh Baal Peh remains Baal Peh, and that's how it should be. But the Chachamim have the ability to do a slasha slashem, a feder teresecha, when it's necessary to act on behalf of Hashem to prevent the Torah as a whole from being forgotten. Then they have the right to override this din and be able to write down and tell us that we're allowed to write down parts of Teresh Baal Peh. In fact, there's a fascinating thing brought about that. It says that it's brought that Rabnosan Adler, one of the Rebbeim of Chassam Sofer, didn't write down. Now, he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, considering he taught Chassam Sofer, he had to be. But he did not write down his Chidushei Torah. And why is that? He said, because if this whole heter of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh is based on Eis Lassus Lashem, that otherwise you might forget it, he says, I have an excellent memory. Therefore, this heter can't apply to me. There's no heter for me to write down my Chidush HaTorah, which are part of Torah Shabbat Peh, because the only reason you can write them down is so you don't forget them, as the Gemara is saying over here, and I'm not going to forget them. The unfortunate result of it is we have the whole of Nassim Torah. We have scattered things that the Chassam Sofer quotes from him, and that Nassim Maz quotes from him, and that other Talmidim of his quote from him. But by and large, we don't have Reb Nassim Adler's Torah because of that. But there's an example. He held that the Heter is only you're allowed to write it down so that you won't forget it. But if he's not going to forget it, then he didn't have a Heter to write it down.
What about the Rebbe?
What about the Rebbe? The Rebbe obviously felt that there was a heter to write down his Torah.
What?
The Rebbe obviously felt that there was a heter to write down his Torah, and therefore the Chassidim wrote it down. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Getting back to the topic of Nisachim, which we were dealing with the question of whether you can bring them by day or by night. So we ended up saying that there's two different types of minchas nesachim, one which can be brought only by day, namely where they're being brought together with the korban, and the other where they can be brought by night, namely where they weren't available when the korban is being brought. Amar Apapa, so Apapa says, Hashta de amrit nesachim aboyim b'fnei asman kraven apila balayla. Nesachim that are being brought by themselves can be offered on the mizbeach even by night, then that would mean we're not just talking about where you put them in a clean service by day, like we were saying before. The Papa says, "Yizdamnu nisachim b'alayla." Suppose that they got a hold. Suppose they weren't able to get a hold of nisachim during the day. Suppose they only got a hold of them by night. Makdishin b'alayla or makrivin. Fine, they can put them in a clean service by night, and then they can be makrivin that same night. Amalei Rav Yosef, Greider of Shnaiyah, Rav Papa, Tanya de Messiah, Loch, Rav Yosef, Greider of Shnaiyah, says to Rav Papa, indeed, I have a braisa that supports what you just said, because we said on Amar Aleph, we brought a braisa that said, Zachal, Kol HaKorez Bayoim, Eine Kodesh Ela Bayoim, anything that can be offered only by day on the Mizbeach can only be placed in a Kli Shoreis to make it Kodesh only by day, but Kol HaKorez Bayoim, Kodesh Bayoim, 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 Bayoim. Anything that can be offered by night is able to become Kodesh by day or by night. Well, since nesachim are able to be brought by night, as we just said, therefore you can be makadosh them by night as well. Okay. Amar of Adaba Ava, but of Adaba Ava says you should know. On the other hand, va'aloisa shachar peselos behem. On the other hand, when it comes aloisa shachar, if those nesachim were placed in a tisharis by night, if you didn't bring them that night, when it comes to Lois HaShachar, they are going to become possible on the grounds of Lina. Ke'egorim, just like the leftover egorim, the leftover limbs of the Korban Tamid. just like those become possible al ois hashachar, so will the nesachim become possible if they're left overnight. So again, Rashi learns that what we mean is if you put them in a klip shortest the next day, then it can be makkel them the next day. As we talk about in Oman Aleph, though, there is the opinion of Rabba that says that if they were on top of the Mizdeach, they don't become possible by Rinna, so therefore the same concept could apply over here also. Okay. Talking more about Nesachim, we're going to talk about more generally about Korbanos, and then circle back to Nesachim. Ki Osir of Dini, when Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, Rav Yechanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yetzadok, he said that Rav Yechanan had said in the name of Rav Shimon Yetzadok, you have like this, a pasuk says, Eila Tasu Hashem Vayadechem, the whole pasuk goes like this. Eila Tasu Hashem Vayadechem, these korbanos are what you should bring for Hashem on your mayadim, levad minidrechem minidveisechem, aside from your nedarim or nedarvis, va'oloseichem ulminchoseichem, as far as your olos and minchos, ulmineskechem or shalmechem, and as far as your nesachem and your shlamim. That's the pasuk. So let's dash in that pasuk. Eila tasu Hashem mayadechem, when it says these are what you should make for Hashem, these are what you should bring for Hashem on your mayadim, that means elo chovas habois chovas beregel. That means the korbanos that are required to be brought on the respective yom tovim. That means, it, besides for the korban musaf, it means also the korbanos of the yechidim that have to be brought on yom tov. The ola suriya that they bring an ola for the fact that they're appearing in the Beis Mikdash on yom tov. They bring shalmei chagiga. All of those are included in these words elo tasu l'Hashem v'yadechem. Then when it continues, levad minidrechem minidreisechem, it continues, besides for your nedarim and nedarvos, meaning your voluntary korbanos that you volunteered to bring other times during the year. That means, limit on nedarim and nedarvos shekreven b'chol shamayim. That teaches us that nedarim and nedarvos are brought on chol hamoed. Now, why would you need to be told that they're brought on chol hamoed? What's the chiddush in it? So the Shittu Mekubetzes brings two possibilities. Number one is you would think that maybe you can't bring them on Chol HaMoed because you have a general concept that you're not allowed to be Malacha on Chol HaMoed, which is not necessary for Chol HaMoed itself. So you could argue, Mela, the Oilas Re'iyah and Shalmei Chagiga, okay, you bring them on Chol HaMoed, you can bring them even on Yom Tov because they're in connection with the Yom Tov. But you made a neder some other time during the year to bring an Oilah. Who says you should be able to bring it on Chol HaMoed? It has nothing to do with Chol HaMoed per se. Therefore, the pasuk is telling you that no problem, you could. That's one explanation. And then he says the other explanation is not saying that you're allowed to. It's saying it's better to. You should bring them on Chol HaMoed if at all. You should bring them on Chol HaMoed if at all possible. Okay, so because of Simchas HaRegel, because of the Simchas of the Yom Tov, in particular with the Shlamim, that you'll have meat, that you're moving, in particular Shlamim, on the Korbanos that are eaten, because that way you'll have meat. Okay, then the pasuk continues, Ulois Seichem. Then the pasuk continues, as far as your Ulois. So we have to ask, says Rav Yechanan, Bamoha Kasim Medaba, what kind of Ulois are we talking about? Are we talking about where you made a neder? You said, Hare Olai, I obligate myself to bring an Ola. Can't Hare Kla Omer Nedrechem? The Pasuk already mentions Nedrechem, meaning you're Nedarim. The Iba Olas Nedava, do we mean a Nedava when you said Hare Zu? Hare Kla Omer Nedrechem. It says Nedrechem. So what kind of Ola is neither a neder nor a Nedava? Ha Enim Adava, Elaba Olas Yeledes, for Olas Methurda. So obviously, therefore, the Pasuk must be talking about an Ola that you're required to bring. Namely, the oila of a woman who gave birth, for example, or the oila of a mitzora, which are korban, those are korbanos oilas you're required to bring. So you can bring those on Chol HaMoed also. The Shittim Kubetas also mentioned, as far as the previous thing about Chol HaMoed, that one possibility also, he says, is it may mean that you can only bring them on Chol HaMoed, meaning you can't bring them on Yom Tov. It's one thing, the Olas Re'iyah and Shalmei Chagiga, which are directly in connection with Yom Tov, those you can bring on Yom Tov as well. Yachem Machod, that's the sound of the silver, whether you can bring the Ola, but whatever, the halacha is like the silver, that you could bring the Ola as well. But if you have an Ola that you volunteered to bring some other time during the year, or like we're saying over here, the Ola of a woman who gave birth or whatever, which you're obligated to bring, those you cannot bring on Yom Tov, but you could bring them on Cholamayim. Then the pasuk continues, Ulamin Choseichem. The pasuk next continues, and as far as Ulamin Chesh, again, the question is, Bamoa Kasim Adaba, what kind of mincha is it talking about? That's not already covered. Ibe minchas neder harekva amur. Do we mean a mincha that you made a neder to bring? It already says nidreichem. Ibe minchas nedava harekva amur. Does it mean a nedava? It already says nidreichem. Ha ena medaba el be minchas soita. Minchas choita, actually, Shetam Kobasa says, it's referring rather to the mincha of a person, of the mincha that a person brings for a carbon out of a yard, where you can't afford an animal, you can't afford birds, or minchas knois, or the mincha of the soita, which those can also be brought on cholamayim. Then when it finishes off with neskechem ulshalmechem, it says and you nesachim and you shlomim. So as we said before, makish nesachim neshlomim. There's a hekish, therefore, between nesachim and shlomim. Ma shlomim bayoyim, just like shlomim can only be brought by day, as nesachim bayoyim, the same thing, the nesachim can only be brought by day. As we said before, on Amar Aleph, that nesachim that come with the korban have to be brought by day. And when it says ulshalmechem, it says your shlomim, not just plain shlomim. That means the rabbi shalmin nazir. That comes to include also the shlomim and nazir can also be brought on cholamayim. Okay, so why dafka those shlomim? Armolei abayas. Abayas says to the dini, okay, that's the whole teaching that you're saying over from Rabbi Yehon, and you're saying that shalmechem means specifically the shlomim and nazir can be brought on cholamayim. There's all the other kinds of shlomim we already covered. But why? The lema mar shalmei pesach. Why don't you say something else? Shalmeichem can also include the shlomim that were supposed to be a Pesach. As we talked about in Zvachim, where you had a case of an animal that was supposed to have been brought for a Korban Pesach, and for whatever reason, what we're talking about over here is, there's two explanations of what shalmei Pesach is. Rashi over here explains that shalmei Pesach means the shlomim that you bring along with the Korban Pesach if you have a lot of people registered for the Korban Pesach, and therefore each one is only going to get like a kezias or a little more of meat, which is not enough to fill you up, so therefore you bring a shlomim with it. So let's say, for whatever reason, you didn't bring that shlomim on Erev Pesach, and you bring it during Cholamayim. There are other places where Rashi explains that Shalmei Pesach means an animal that was supposed to have been brought as a Korban Pesach, and instead you didn't have a chance to bring it as a Pesach for whatever reason, and therefore you bring it as a Shlomim the rest of the year. Anyway, the point is, Abaya says to Rav Dimi, why don't you say that the Shlomim it's talking about is those kinds? There's the Shlomim that are supposed to come with the Pesach, or the Shlomim that were a Pesach. De'i Shalmei Nazir, because if you're going to tell me that it refers to the Shlomim of a Nazir, what do you mean? Why do you need a separate posit for that? Nidav and Nidavu. After all, the shlomim of a nazir is considered to be something that comes with neder and a dava. Because after all, you had to become a nazir by volunteering to become a nazir. The whole time, yes, in fact, we don't have a bright, says Zachwal, kosher nidav and nidav, karev babama sayachit, anything that you could bring as a nidava or as a neder is able to be brought on a private bama during the periods of Jewish history when you were allowed to bring korbanos wherever you wanted. The she'ena nidav nidav, any korban that cannot be brought the neder and a dava, ena korav b'bama siyachit, cannot be brought on a private bama, for example, a chatos. With Tanya, or with Tanan, really, it's a Mishnah, or with Tanan, and we learn a Mishnah in Zvachim. A menachos and a nazir, craving b'bama siyachit, give it a mayor. The mayor says that menachos and korbanos of a nazir can be brought on a bama siyachit. So you see from that, korbanos of a nazir are considered korban are considered the neder and a dava. Because after all, how do you become a nazir in the first place is by making a neder and a dava. The answer is, the Gemara says, no, smimi kan nazirus. No, delete the word nazirus. In fact, korbanos of a nazir cannot be brought on a bamas yachid. It's true they come about through neder and a dava, but the actual requirement to bring the korbanos is a requirement. It's not a neder and a dava anymore. It's not once you become a nazir, you make a neder and a dava to bring your korbanos. Once you're a nazir, you have to bring those korbanos. Therefore, they can't be called a neder and a dava. So therefore, there's no choice but to say that shalmei chem, your shlomim, has to refer, therefore, to has to refer to the korbanos of a nazir. You can't say like a bayin is arguing that those should be considered in the category of neder and adava. You're not, because it's true that the original designation as a nazir was a neder, but after that, the fact that you bring these korbanos is an obligation. Okay. Yes.
So tomorrow.